con decirles que tengo una cómoda que perteneció a un tal Luis XV, que es una joya arquitectónica.
Qué interesante.
Y tengo un ropero.
¿También Luis XV?
No, ese es un poquito más grande, es del 15 y medio.
From NPR Music, this is Alt Latino. I'm Jasmine Garst in Mexico City.
And I'm Felix Contreras in Washington, D.C. And that was a short clip from the film El Señor Fotógrafo from 1952. And many of you may recognize the voice of the comedic character Cantinflas. He was the creation of Mexican actor Mario Moreno. And a new film tells the story of Mario Moreno and his lovable character. The film is called Cantinflas, and it opened in 350 theaters here in the U.S. and will be premiering soon all across Mexico.
This week on Alt Latino, we're going to be talking about the film, and we're also going to be talking about the actor, Mario Moreno, and the character he played, Cantinflas. To guide us through that conversation, we've invited Anne Hoyt to join us. Anne is a film critic for AARP in Español. She also writes about film and film history for many Spanish language publications. And she is on the selection committee for the prestigious Morelia International Film Festival. Anne, muchas gracias por pasar hoy.
Muchísimas gracias a ustedes. Thank you.
Now, later in the show, I want to let listeners know we're going to have an interview with Oscar Jaenada, and he's the actor who played the role of Cantinflas and Mario Moreno in the new biopic. But first, Anne, what did you think of this film?
I liked it a lot. I think it's not without its faults, obviously. Mexico doesn't have a great tradition of biopics because in general, they cost more money. They require a larger budget. So having said that, I believe that for Mexican standards, it's a very dignified example of a great way to tell a story. I think the main asset of the film is the script. I think it was very smart to try to not tell the whole story of Mario Moreno, which would have been impossible and would have taken a lot of time, and to just choose certain moments which were landmarks in the life of Mario Moreno in his voyage to becoming a very famous or the most famous comedian in the Spanish-speaking world, and mixing that up sort of in a parallel story with how he got invited to act in Hollywood, which, of course, it's the dream of every actor worldwide.
So let's describe a little bit of the character for those who are not familiar with his films. Let's talk a little bit about, how he acted, how he dressed, and his whole comedic flair. I mean, because it's very popular and well-known among Latinos. You know, sometimes my mother would say, hey, Cantinflas, get out of there, quit making trouble. You know, she would refer to us as Cantinflas, right? So for those that don't know, let's talk a little bit about that character.
I think it represented, in a way, Mexico's national identity. That's why he transcended just the showbiz. He became the typical urban character that, because of Mexican introduction to modernity, had to leave the provinces, peasants that had to move more and more to the capital city. And they became a very special, apart kind of population within the city, with its own culture, its own language. And that's what he represents. In a way, Cantinflas says, you know, if I hadn't come up with the character, I'm sure somebody else would have.
And what were some of the things that Moreno incorporated into his character that reflected some of those real-life social characteristics?
When you encounter working-class people in Mexico, the first thing they try to do, because Mexico being a very classist society, you can immediately place the person's social level by the way they speak. So the first thing that working class people do when they are talking to someone who is above their station is to try to acquire the refined language that the other person speaks.
Sure.
That is very typical of Cantinflas. Of course, he doesn't manage it well. The other interesting thing about him...
That's an understatement.
That's an understatement, sure. But another, just quickly, another very interesting thing that we should take into account is that the vast majority of the population in Mexico at that time didn't know how to write, didn't know how to read. So they, in a way, didn't have the language. They had to sort of snap it from the upper classes and make it their own.
Anne brought in some short film clips from various Cantinflas movies to share with us today. And this first clip illustrates that point you just made. So can you set it up for us?
Okay, this belongs to the film Así es mi tierra from 1937, Such is My Land. And it's an example of Mario Moreno's third film in which the character he portrays is not yet named Cantinflas, but he already behaves and talks as Cantinflas.
Hay momentos en la vida en que usted sabrá, como usted se imagina, pues no, bueno, hace eso, son cosas que... Señor licenciado, y me dirijo a usted porque hace eso, no debería dirigirme a usted. Yo quiero brindar por la felicidad que el individuo encuentra. Mi general aquí presente, no es.
Qué bien habla.
Usted, señor licenciado, le suplico. Bueno, ¿qué pasó con los frijoles? Oiga,
so this is before he has his character, and this is very, very early on, 1937, right after he started making movies.
Well, this is one of the, I think it's the second one where he already has the, he's a protagonist, he has a main bill. And what's interesting about this film is that for the first and perhaps only time, he shows his character before he moves to the big city. Here he is a peasant, and what we have is a very typical Mexican genre film, which is a ranchera, that talks about the time of the revolution in Mexico and how generals, all the military people that were fighting the revolution, would come back to their province, and it was a way of exalting the virtues of the province. Cantinflas here portrays a character that, on the contrary, is very suspicious of the generals that are coming back to visit from the revolution, and that because of the revolution, their state in life has ascended. They have a better social status. So he, in a way, is trying to bring them down to their roots and reminding him about where they came from and defending the simple values, the simple life of the countryside against this new refinement that was coming as a result of the revolution and, again, of this modernization.
And then at the end, you know, the kicker is when he says, ¿Qué pasó con los frijoles? What happened with the beans, right?
Yes.
Which makes me think about, you know, how I grew up. You know, we don't eat beans in Argentina. I never tried really beans until I came to the U.S. and Mexico.
Uh-huh.
But it's still this humor that translates at its core. It translates. And I wanted to ask you, he's so uniquely Mexican.
Yes.
But people in countries where you don't eat beans or, you know, where even this language might go over the top of your head found him so funny. Why?
I think we can all identify with the character that at a certain moment is put in the spot, is forced by circumstances, and this is something very typical of Cantinflas films. He is constantly in a comedy of errors, so he is forced to assume a role that doesn't belong to him.
I think now's a good time to talk about just his play with words and the way he worked with words. And one of the comparisons I'm always seeing is that he was a Charlie Chaplin of Mexico. And I think that that is true in the sense that he dressed like Charlie Chaplin's Little Tramp.
Yes, I think if we were to compare him with anything that is more familiar here in the United States, it would be more with the humor of Groucho Marx. I mean, because he also relied on his words. The only difference I would say with Groucho is that Groucho wasn't exactly representative of the working classes. I mean, he was a swindler, a hustler, maybe,
yeah,
but not precisely the low-class character that Cantinflas came to represent, that by different circumstances ends up mingling with, you know, the rich, the elite, and is not threatened by them.
You brought in a clip from 1941 that I think speaks to this, and an example of how he punctured the pretentious knowledge in this scene.
This belongs to a movie called El Gendarme Desconocido, The Unknown Policeman. Mm-hmm. And again, it's a comedy of errors where by some strange circumstance, he is invited to become a policeman, and he's taking a class, and the professor is this very pompous, serious person, and Cantinflas comes up with nothing. I mean, he just fills the air with words, and eventually, I guess, he's just, you know, stumbling and stumbling and stumbling. But in the end, he makes a joke of the name of the professor, too. So
Professor Melo becomes Professor Malo.
Tenemos, entonces, en ese caso, ¿qué tenemos? Hacemos una comparación para analogar ciertas sentices que a la postre. No, ¿qué? ¿Por qué entonces? Mire usted, ya cambia el asunto en esa forma, y en ese caso la medicina legal es esa. Hay otra, pero todavía no se sabe.
¿Usted sabe lo que está diciendo?
No, yo no. ¿Y usted lo sabe?
Yo no.
Pues entonces no hay que hablar, ¿verdad?
Claro. ¿Cómo? Cuidado con lo que dice. Usted siéntese y oiga. ¡Qué buena falta le hace!
Está bueno, profesor Malo.
¡Melo! Mi nombre es Melo.
And, you know, the other day I was talking to, you know, Gustavo Arellano, right?
Oh, yes.
He writes a column on the OC Weekly called Ask a Mexican. So I saw this movie. I called him up and I was talking to him. And one of the things I was telling him is, you know, I've become really well adapted to Mexico and I feel like it's home. But one of the things that was probably the most difficult for me was the sense of humor. It was like the last thing I understood. And it's not because Mexican humor is particularly weird. It's just really different from Argentine humor. Every country has a different humor. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And so I was saying, Gustavo, here's what I think Mexican humor is. What do you think? How would you define Mexican humor? And here's what Gustavo told me.
Mexican humor is simultaneously some of the most complex, wonderful intellectual humor, I would argue, in the world, and also one of the basest humors in the world. So we have on one hand, you do have, you know, Cantinflas and all his puns and double entendres. I mean, so much so that the word, of course, cantinflear is part of the Mexican-Spanish vocabulary.
It officially was, it became a verb admitted by the Royal Academy of the Spanish Language in 1992, the verb cantinflear. But what I think is what Gustavo was mentioning, I think Mexican humor can be very dry, but and you say it was the most difficult thing for you to understand, because I think it has to do all maybe with language.
Yes.
It's all about double entendre. It's all about double meaning. And I am going to say something which is, I have nothing against it, but I really, this is not a feminist comment, but I would say it's a very male language where male,
oh yeah,
you know, they prove each other. They test each other to see how good they are at answering this verbal challenges.
And do you think his style of humor with the physical comedy and the use of language, does it stand the test of time?
Cantinflas is still, in preparation for this show, I also played clips, which you can find thousands of in YouTube, to my children, to my own children, and they have grown up in the U.S., they hardly speak any Spanish, and I wanted to see their reaction, and they laughed out loud at some of them. I mean, they couldn't understand precisely what was being said, but some of the clips, I mean, some of the scenes are just unbelievably funny to a contemporary audience.
The new film does a great job of illustrating how good Cantinflas was at his use of language. And Anne, you've said the triumph of the film is largely because of actor Oscar Jaenada's performance as Cantinflas and Mario Moreno. Jasmine and I had a chance to chat with him to get some insight into what it was like to play two characters in the film, both Cantinflas and the real-life actor Mario Moreno. Here's the interview where he talks about that, as well as some other things that had to do with making the movie.
Oscar, I live in Mexico City, and I live very close to this gigantic rotating statue of Mario Moreno, of Cantinflas. And as I walked by it the other day, I was thinking about you. And I was just thinking, like, was it overwhelming to be offered to play such a legendary character?
Well, a little bit, but we are an actors. My five latest characters are in Spaniards. All of them needed a work of in the accent. And, well, was like the first day I was there in Mexico, because I've never been there before the movie, before the audition. And I get the audition, I get the role. I was in the covers of the most important newspapers in Mexico, and I was like, "Wow, it's." I didn't shut a shot or didn't start rolling yet, but it was so huge. No, Mario Moreno defined his character Cantinflas as Mexico, pure Mexico, and period. No, he used to answer that Cantinflas was only Mexico, and then. Obviously, if a Spaniard is going to take the role of Mario Moreno and Cantinflas, Mexicans were like a little bit concerned, no, about that. But we are an actors, and cinema is crowd about examples like Daniel Day-Lewis, Meryl Streep, or a lot more that represents with very exactly manners characters from another country, even another continent.
And so, you, as you mentioned, you are from Spain, and I'm just wondering, how familiar were you with Cantinflas?
In Spain, Cantinflas is so popular, it's huge. It's in our culture, like Mexicans, no? In Televisión Española is the famous TV in Spain. They used to put one or two movies of Cantinflas every weekend. So, and I remember when I was a child, I was around 2 or 3 p.m. I was in my home, and my parents always was laughing, seeing that guy, watching the movies of that guy. I didn't understand him because I was a child. But once I grow up, I begin to understand his humor, his sense of political humor, his sense of international humor, and for Spaniards, Cantinflas is the Mexican Cantinflas, but it's like ours because we grow up with him.
Once you accepted the role, what kind of research did you do? Was it about his personal story or about his film presence?
It was a challenge. It was a challenge. It was a really challenge because having a different nationality. As an actor, just make it more work. I had to prepare my accent, but this character, in addition, was unique. I had to learn how he moved, the way he made improvisation, because he has a knack for improvisation. He was so popular for this knack of improvisation, but this, even though it was difficult, was really like an equation. Work plus discipline would give me, as a result, Cantinflas. But for Mario was truly different, much more tough, because there is no footage about him. And Mario Moreno was a really secret man. He was a really serious man. And everybody knows Cantinflas, but nobody knows Mario Moreno. And my research, my artistic challenge was, I have to look for Mario Moreno. I have to find him, and once I was truly close from his family or his social or political friends, as a Spaniard, I had to make a lot of questions, no polite questions, uncomfortable questions about, did he do that, or what happened in here, and why he was like this, and a lot of questions that wasn't uncomfortable, and even though coming from a Spaniard that wanna be Cantinflas, no?
Can you give us an example of some of the uncomfortable questions that you asked?
He never was in his home. He was always working. He was always sharing his character with the whole world, but he forget being in home. He forget being with his wife. And his wife died a long time ago also, but there is his son is still alive, and I was talking with him about the relationship with his mom, with Valentina Ivanova. It's truly difficult to understand which relationship they had, because I was talking with the actress playing Valentina, Ilse Salas, about what happened here, because was it, everybody knows Mario was él era muy infiel, estaba siempre con mujeres.
Yeah, he was a womanizer. Yeah.
Yeah. So why she's still with him? Why?
And he was married. It was really weird because he was a womanizer, but he was married to the same woman his whole life. This Russian woman.
Yeah. So it was like I think she understands Mario Moreno. She understands the weight of a character like this one, like Cantinflas, and she used to understand him. She used to understand that Mario has to be maybe 2 months, 3 months out of home in another country or whatever. And the sacrifice of Mario Moreno was huge. And that was that I wanted to be, I wanted to show in this movie more than Mario Moreno and less than his unique character, Cantinflas. I was focused in Mario Moreno because I am an actor. And I think we have to talk about this, the sacrifice of the actor. When you give to the whole world everything, there is nothing for your home. There is nothing in your home. And I think the life of Mario, the personal life of Mario, was like the tear was always above the laugh.
Do you think he was happy?
No, I don't think so. I don't think an actor could be happy. We always have to be another person and keep working, always keep working. And I think the happiness is certain, a una distancia del actor. Yo creo que está a una distancia la felicidad. La verdad es que uno la quiere buscar, pero pocas veces la encuentra.
Claro. Bueno, sí, y es interesante porque sí, él como personaje es muy mexicano. He's a very Mexican character. We have a clip from the movie that I wanted to play for you. Felix, do we have that clip, Puro Mexicano?
¡Ah, caray! ¿Quién anda ahí?
¡Johnny Albino!
¿Qué pasó, Tess?
¡Qué óvole, es mi dandy! ¿Qué traes en la cajita? ¿Tacuche nuevo? El otro ya se paraba solo, ¿eh?
Pues así como ves, todavía no ocupa remiendos, como otros.
No te me esponjes, no te me esponjes.
¡Ya! ¡Espántame, panteón!
¡Ay, a poco salitres como las pirinolas, eh! Como jarrito de claquepaque que se siente a la primera, ¿eh?
No más tantito, porque de tanto me quiebro y luego no me levanto,
chato. ¡Ay, ahora sí me salió vivo el muertito, eh!
¡Vamos!
¿Qué fue, su español? No entendí nada.
No, Valita, puro mexicano.
So I don't even understand half of what is being said in that clip. La verdad, es muy mexicano lo que están diciendo en ese clip. And I loved that you used a lot of albures. And albures, for those who don't know, is these double entendres. It's here in Mexico, there's a big culture of puns. There's even pun battles or batallas de albures, which are actually kind of similar to rap battles. And in this clip, for example, he's doing a lot of that, of double entendres. And then at the end, his wife, who was Russian, asks him, hey, what language was that? And he says, no, that's pure Mexican. And I'm wondering, first, did you improvise at all in this movie? I mean, did you at some point start getting into that flow, into that rhythm?
Me hubiera encantado, pero es que estaba interpretando al mago de la improvisación, al más grande de la improvisación, y en un acento que no es el mío es muy difícil, ¿no?
Right.
No me atreví a ello. Yo creo que, lógicamente, porque claro, estamos hablando de uno que era un grande haciendo improvisación y además con otro acento. Yo lo que sí que hice, dada esa dificultad, pues era de preparar unas improvisaciones muchísimo para que parecieran improvisadas, pero vamos, estaba todo calculado al milímetro, ¿no? Para que pareciera, pues, porque evidentemente él era un genio con la improvisación.
¿Y cómo aprendiste? How did you learn to talk in that very, very specific style of talking, almost like a slang? How did you learn that?
Of having a different nationality as an actor just make it more work. So I hired a foniatric, un foniatra que desde las 7 de la mañana hasta las 11 de la noche, pues quedábamos para repasar y repasar. Sobre todo había algo muy importante que no me di cuenta de ello, y es que España tiene una altitud mucho menor que México y eso se traduce en la velocidad a la hora de hablar. Los mexicanos hablan mucho más lento porque respiran más lento, necesitan más tiempo. Y el español habla rápido, rápido. El pulmón se carga enseguida de oxígeno, ¿no? Y esa diferencia fue muy importante de trabajar porque realmente es algo que tienes dentro. Tu manera de respirar es tu manera de respirar. Y entonces conseguir respirar más lento fue un trabajo, pero con un foniatra, ya te digo. Yo quizá de esos detalles tampoco me daba cuenta, ¿no? Tienes que rodearte de un pequeño equipo, trabajar duro, con mucha disciplina, sobre todo para tenerlo tan metido dentro que a la hora de la escena yo no esté pendiente de mi acento, ni de mi manera de mover las piernas, ni de nada de eso. Esté pendiente de la mirada del actor o de la actriz y de la mía, y actuar. Actuar y sentir lo que digo. Y para eso necesitaba mucho trabajo de dicción con el foniatra y de posición, ¿no? Con la profesora de baile en este caso, ¿no?
Oscar, thank you very much for your time. But before we go, can you give us a despedida? Can you tell us goodbye in that very humorous slang way of talking that the Mexicanos do? Can you recreate it for us para despedirnos?
Pues ahí os espero, chatos. Espero veros en la película a partir del 29 de agosto. Ahí está.
That was actor Oscar Jainada talking about his role in the new film Cantinflas. Jasmine?
I have to do like a full disclosure here, and I wasn't a big fan of the film. I'm a big fan of Cantinflas, actually, and always have been. I guess the thing that concerned me about the film was that I felt it kind of glossed over some really interesting and maybe controversial things about him. I ended up talking to a lot of people here in Mexico City, where I live, about Cantinflas, and you bring up this really interesting point. People who are big fans tend to skew towards being big fans of his early work, right. And then saying something happened in which he just kind of got absorbed into the system or something. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Of course. Well, see, what happened is this has many explanations. Some people say that he just sold out because he really became an upper class man. He was a very savvy businessman. He amassed a great fortune and he actually became sophisticated. I mean, he wasn't just a classical, maybe the boxer who is the uneducated working class. Man who suddenly becomes rich and starts wearing very showy and big houses and big cars. I mean, he really tried to improve himself. He learned English. His wife was Russian, so he also tried to learn Russian. So the thing is that a lot of people thought that he sold out because he was now among the people that he used to criticize. But there's a very basic and practical reason which I think explains better what happened to him. He sold the rights of his films, the distribution rights, to Columbia Pictures mm-hmm. in the U.S. And so Columbia asked him to try to not just stick with the Cantinflas character because it was too local and untranslatable. So Cantinflas, who had a great interest in becoming international, would try to somehow accommodate to the demands of Columbia Pictures and started doing more the kind of characters that were universal, like the policeman, the priest, the teacher. So in an attempt to become more universal. It didn't work. And the people in Mexico resented it, especially his critics, you know, the professional film critics. But he was, even to the end, to the last film he did, which was the Street Sweeper, he was beloved by the people in Mexico, and his films made a lot of money. But it was a different Cantinflas.
And Hoyt, thank you.
Thank
for sharing
you.
Your knowledge,
thank
expertise,
you.
And appreciation.
Oh, no. Just my love.
For Mario Moreno and his character Cantinflas. Anne is the film critic for AARP en Español here in Washington, D.C.
We should put some of our favorite clips of Cantinflas' movies on our show page this week, since we didn't play a lot of music.
I think that's a great idea.
Listeners can find that at npr.org/altlatino. And we talked about a lot of things on this week's show about Latinos in Hollywood today, what Cantinflas meant to Latin America. Let us know what your opinion is and what your favorite Cantinflas movie is. You can do that on our Facebook or on our Twitter. We're NPR's Alt Latino.
From Washington, D.C., I'm Felix Contreras.
And from Mexico City, I'm Jasmine Garst.
This has been Alt Latino.
Ahí está el detalle.